Continue in our series called Servant Leaders. Servant leadership and servant leaders. And today, we know that God is calling all of us to serve, and He wants to use all of us, and we've been talking about that, about attitudes that come with serving. We talked about serving with a limp. We talked about serving when things don't go just right. Today, I want to talk to you and ask you this question in our sermon. I think maybe you'll get a kick out of this. I think it says today that we're going to talk about what? Do you shine or do you whine? Turn to your neighbor and ask them that question. Do you shine or do you whine? It's a good question, isn't it? Today, I believe that God is calling us to refocus all across America, that there's a refocusing going on in churches and Christians as we are looking back and seeing where we messed up a little bit, and we've gotten off track on keeping the main thing, and we've allowed church politics, or we've allowed church tradition to steer us rather than allowing Scripture and the heartbeat of God steer us. And the most important still seems to be that God wants the heartbeat of the church to reach people for Him. And if any time we're not reaching people for God, then we are missing the call of the church. That it still comes down to this every day that we are called to shine. But way too often, this is the sad part about it, is that the church, instead of shining, we're whining. We whine about this, and we whine about that, and we whine about the music being too loud, and we whine about the music not what we like. We whine about the way the pastor dresses, his shirt's untucked, and we whine about... We don't have that problem here, but I'm just talking about other churches. That's what's good when you start your own church. Ain't nobody complaining because they're here because they like you. So I can dress how I want, and everybody likes it. That's cool. Let's get back on track. But we whine in the church, and, you know, I tell you this, that we have got to get back on not whining and begin to shine. We got to get back to realizing that we're not called to be whiners. We're called to be shiners. To shine the light of God's love, to shine His mercy, to shine His glory out of our life, to refocus back and to make things simple again. We've allowed things to become so complex that we miss the main thing, keeping the main thing the main thing. And I believe God is calling us here at Destiny Church to make sure that in our infant stages that we are keeping the main thing the main thing, and that we don't allow other things to come in and to distract us from the vision that God has called us to be. And at the very heartbeat of Destiny Church, we made a commitment to God. We would build people, and You would build the church. We would love people, and You would build the church. God, You can build the buildings. God, You can take care of all the other stuff. But God, we're going to focus on people. Because like I said last week, it's just carpet, and these are just chairs. And these are just pillars, and these are just metal. We can have church at the Holiday Inn. We can have church at a stadium. We can have church in the parking lot. Because the church is not a building. The church is you and I. Pastor, do you not want a nice building? Oh, yes, you can tell. We have put a lot of time and TLC into what God has given us. And we have been diligent with working the best that God has given us. We don't slack on doing that. You can tell. We prepare and we put our best. We have hard people who have worked hard on remodeling this building. So it's an inviting place for people to come in and receive the gospel message. But what I'm saying is still, it's not about the building. It's not about a denomination. It's not about anything other than, are we reaching people with Jesus Christ? That's still the focus. And if we're not doing that, we are losing the very commission that God says. This is the most important thing. Do you love me? That's what He asked Peter, the very last thing. Peter, if you really love me, then feed my sheep. That's what's most important. That's not important what your name says out front. That's not important what color your walls are. That's not important what style of music you have. What's important is, are we feeding His sheep? Are we showing the love of Jesus Christ? And I wonder how many times do we whine instead of shine. Terry, where are you this morning? He's going to give me a hand this morning. Why don't you guys come and stretch this rope out across here? I'd love to use this illustration. I've used it before. It's been a long time. But most of you haven't seen it. But I believe this rope today represents, if you guys can grab this rope and stretch it out as far as you can, mend the end. This rope represents eternity. How many know how long eternity is? Anybody have an answer for that? It's a long time, but eternity never ends. Let's stretch it out toward that wall, if you can get it there. You might have to pick it up on people's heads. Yeah, there you go. You can pick it up, and this, there you go. Just kind of just pick it around there. That's a big old rope, isn't it? Yeah. Stretch it tight if you can. Now, in your mind today, I want you to imagine this rope not just ending right where these guys are sitting, but I want you to imagine this rope going clear out that glass wall and throughout the door and out across range line and out through Carl Junction and then down to Miami and then down to Oklahoma City and down to Texas and this going out to north through Springfield and then to St. Louis and just keep going north, you know, man, all the way to the Canadian border and keep going straight out all the way around the world until this rope stretches all the way around the world. And let's say that this rope is stretched out today all the way around the world. And this rope represents eternity. This rope represents eternity and time. And let's say that you and I, our life, which the Bible calls just as a vapor, that our life represents just a small piece on this rope of eternity. I mean, our timeline is just, boom, right there. Whether you live to be 30 or you live to be 100 years old, our life, boom, right there on eternity is just that. But yet, we live all of our life right here. Everything, we've got to get everything we can right here. I'm going to get mine, I don't got much to live, so I'm going to get everything I can. Everything I want to do is about building my wealth. It's about building my kingdom. It's about doing what's best for me, 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 me. And we live all of our life right here. And Jesus said this. He said, I didn't come for you to live your life for this. This is not what life's about. Life's about eternity. Life's about eternity. But we get so focused right here on this. Mine. This is my little notch in forever right here. And we live our life right there. Instead of eternity, you guys can put that down. Thanks. Today, God is calling us to shine. Matthew 5, 16 says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5, 16. Let your light shine before men in such a way they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So how do we do this? How do we shine and not whine? Let me give this first point to you. We got to learn, number one, to close the gap between what I believe and how we live. Let me say it again. We got to learn to close the gap in what I believe in the way that I live my life. It is Romans 1:16, which says, I am not ashamed of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God, saving everyone who believes. That we are called to let our light shine. And how do we do that? We got to learn to focus that. We got to close the gap in the way I believe and the way I really live my life. Because if I was to talk to you today and ask you about how do you believe, and you would tell me all these things you really believe about how a way a Christian should live their life and how a Christian should act in public and how we should do some things, you would tell me all these things. If I ask you, are we doing it? You would probably say, not really. I believe I should do this, but I really am acting this way. I'm really acting right here. Right here. Now, I believe in eternity. I believe we should prepare for eternity. Hello, 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 hello. But I'm going to live right here. And see, we got to figure out a way to bridge that gap between what we believe and what we know is right and the way we live our life. Because the world sees the inconsistency in our life. They see, well, you say one thing and do another. You say you love God, but your actions speak differently. You say you love people, but you hate others. You say you're all about forgiveness, but you have bitterness in your heart. We got to learn to bridge the gap in a way that we believe in what God is calling us to do and what we know to do right. So how do we do that? How do we bridge that gap? First of all, this is so simple, it should be so easy to realize, but I think we should start right here. Start by being kind. Let me say it again. We need to start by being kind. Can I just tell you this candidly and tell you that some Christians are some of the meanest people I've ever met in my life? Now, don't point at anybody in this room. I'm not talking about anybody in here, of course. This is everybody else but us. But some of the meanest people I've met in my life are Christians. I mean, how many times have we seen it? You've heard me share these examples all across town when I go to Walmart or I go to Six Flags or wherever I'm at in line. And we see these stories of the rudest people, and they'll have a church t-shirt on where they go to church at. Or have a church. That's why I don't give you t-shirts for my church, because I'm afraid how you're going to act. Don't put your bumper sticker on my on your car. I don't want anybody knowing how to get here, pointing the wrong way. Okay, and we want to make sure. Can we realize that Christians can be some of the meanest people? But we really let our light shine, don't we? You know, the very core of letting your light shine is learning to be kind. Would it really kill you to be kind? At the very heart, we've got to start with a simple thing of learning to be kind. Look what Romans 2:4 says. Do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads to repentance? It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. You're never going to win anybody for the Lord by being mean, condemning them, pointing out their faults, pointing out their failures. You will lead people to a right relationship with Jesus by loving them through kindness where they're at. I pray this. I pray that the unchurched, this is what I'm missing my prayer, that the unchurched, those who are not Christians, become Christians, and I pray that the Christians become kind. That's my prayer this morning. That the unchurched become saved, and that the Christians that are already saved become kind. Well, I know he's not talking about me. Come on, we're all there. We want to go in and we have a bad waiter at the restaurant, and bless God, I'm paying their tip, and they better get my order right. Because I'm on a time schedule, and they better get it right. If they don't, I let them know about it. And I let their boss know about it. And I stiff them with their tip. When I could have just shown a little kindness and said, you probably got a stressful day, don't you? And just been a little sympathetic. Who knows what that waitress would have opened up to you, and you could have said, you know what? Why don't you come and join me in church this week? But what happens is this. Maybe 6 months down the line, you run into this person somewhere else at a ball game, and you forget. This is the person who was that waiter. And you say, hey, we're having this kid fest going on at our church. Why don't you come down here? And they're mind thinking, I ain't going to no church that acts like that. When I was in college, I was waiting tables one time, and I had two newscasters. I won't say what station. You would know them. One of them's still going on, so you can kind of put your head together and figure out what's going on. I had two newscasters that came in, and they left me no tip. No tip. Zero. They had their makeup on. They were getting me going on the air, doing the news. It left me no tip. And, man, I was good. Okay? It wasn't like I was good. I was hustling for that tip. I thought, these guys are going to give me a good tip. They're in the public eye. They're going to have to. So I was hustling. You know what? To this day, I cannot watch the news on that channel. I don't want to hear what the news has to say because you can't tip. You may have the best weather in the whole world, but I don't want to hear it because you can't tip. Show a little kindness and see how far it gets you. How do we do this? It's time and kindness. You know, we got to learn that good deeds leads to goodwill, which opens the heart up to the good news. Good deeds leads to goodwill, which opens up the heart to the good news. That doing kindness, doing good deeds to people, opens up your will and say, yeah, I want to help people. And it opens up their will and it opens up their heart to the good news. It was James said like this in James 2:18. Some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, I can't see your faith if you don't have good deeds. But I will show you my faith through my good deeds. So we know this. The scripture says that we are not saved by works. We're saved by faith. And so, Pastor, scripture is very clear. I'm not saved by doing good deeds. And I'm going to tell you this. You are absolutely 100% correct. You are not saved by good deeds. You can do 1,000 good deeds, and it will not make you any more saved than what you would be when you started. Because our salvation is not based on our good deeds. It's based on Jesus Christ's forgiveness in my life. It's based on my repentance, my faith in him. That's where my salvation comes from. But Scripture teaches me this, that if I have received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that good deeds will follow. And if you have no good deeds coming out of your life, I am here today to say and to question, are you really saved? Whoa, he didn't just say that, did he? Let me say that again. I'll get back in my hand here in case someone throws something. I really mean that 100%, because if we are Christians and are really Christians, then good deeds should follow who we are. Kindness should follow who we are. Does it mean I can't have a bad day? We all do. Does it mean I don't blow it? We all blow it. But it means at the very core of saying, you know what, I've got to learn to be kind. I've got to pray to God, you help my spirit to be gentle. You help my words to be kind. You help my temper to calm down. I tell you, I had the biggest temper of anybody in here at one time in my life. I'd have fought you a drop of a hat. You looked at me wrong. You may have whooped me, but boy, I was ready to get you. But as a Christian, God has softened my heart. Now, you know, I let things roll off me that would have been fighting words 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I let them roll off me. Don't mess with my kids now. But other than that, do you need to bet anything else to me? I'm still working on that kid thing, okay? I'm getting there. I'm not always where I should be. But you know what? Kindness and good deeds is what God has called us to do. Let me give you the second thing here. The second way is we start with the genuine touch. We got to close the gap between what we believe and how we live, and then we got to start with the genuine touch. Look what Proverbs 12:25 says. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. I mean, just start with a genuine touch. You know, how many love it when you get in an elevator and it's crowded? Isn't that the weirdest feeling? And you don't want to get in there, but you've been waiting in the lobby for like 10 minutes for the elevator and finally comes down, you know, and it's just full of people. And you know, I'm not going to wait, so I'm going to cram in here. And you get in there, and everybody's doing this right here. They're all facing the door this way. I mean, no one's talking, no one's smiling. They're all thinking, someone smells bad, you know. I love when I see that elevator open up. Normally, I would just say, you know what, I'll wait till the next one or I'll take the stairs. But you know what I do now? I love to jump in the front. And I face them all and I just smile real big. I say, hi, everybody, how you doing? And you'd be amazed at what happens. People start talking over here, smiling, laughing, and giggling. I mean, just by simply coming in, facing everybody and smiling in that elevator, you'd be amazed what changes in that atmosphere. By a simple word of hi, how you doing? I mean, people's countenance changes. They'll begin to talk to you. And I don't know how many times they ask, are you a Christian? There's something different about you. I didn't say anything about God. All I said was, hi, how you doing? And their day brightens up. You have the power in your touch to change people's lives. You got to learn to do so. How do we start with a genuine touch? Know the difference between a touch and a touchdown. You got to know the difference between a touch and a touchdown. Lord, can you give me a hand today? You guys are going to help me pull this cross up over here. We got to know the difference in what it means to touch and have a touchdown. How many like touchdowns in here? Anybody like score? That's me. I like touchdowns. If you've ever been around me, you know that, man, my team scores a touchdown. It's loud. It's on. My kids went home with the Perkins family last week. They came home and said, Dad, we thought you was crazy. You should see Tom. Stand up, Tom, right here. Tom's got his Philadelphia jerseys, Eagles on. He's from Philly. He grew up in Philly. And Tom, when the Philadelphia wins, he makes the whole family go out in the front yard, and they sing the fight song, and they blow the air horn. I mean, Dad, we thought you was crazy. So we like to score touchdowns. And part of the reason is this, as they're getting this set up for me, you guys, stay with me. Part of the reason is that if we don't score a touchdown, we get upset, don't we? You ever played a game and didn't score a touchdown? That's a horrible game. I mean, you ever been shut out? It's a horrible thing to play a game and be shut out. It's a tough thing, and I hate to do that. And so even as a Christian, that many times that we are trying to score a touchdown in people's lives, and if we don't see a touchdown, we get so discouraged. Oh, I was witnessing so-and-so, and they rejected the message of Jesus. And we didn't score a touchdown. We didn't get them to the cross. We're going to call the cross the touchdown, okay? We didn't score the touchdown. We didn't get him right there. Give me about five chairs. There you go. Just kind of scoot him that way a little bit. All right. And so today, we're trying to get people to score a touchdown. And we got to realize it's not the touchdown that's as important as it is the touch. And let me share this example and show you what I'm talking about. I need someone who's really been a big heathen in their life. Who is it? Darren. Come here, Darren. You can help me out here. Darren. I'm just playing around. Come here, Darren. Give me a hand. Let's say Darren today is the person that I'm trying to lead to the cross. So, Darren, I want you to sit right here in the black chair. He goes, I sit in the back again. He says, Pastor, I just moved to the front. Now you're making me come up to the front. Let's say I want Darren to get right here. I want Darren to get to the cross. So how do I get Darren to the cross? And it may happen in simple touches. It may happen with a simple person like Tom. Come here, Tom. It may come as Tom. Tom coming up to Darren. Get behind Darren and stand right here. And saying, Darren, why don't you come over to the house and watch the game today? I know you like the Chiefs, and the Chiefs are playing the Eagles, and you're going to need comfort when the Eagles beat the Chiefs really bad today. So I want, just come on over to the house, and we'll feed you. And so Darren says, you know, I don't think I'll do that. And you know what? This is pretty cool right here. Tom's a cool guy. He's a Christian, and he likes to watch football just like I do. So immediately his heart, because of this touch, begins to soften. And you stay right here. And then the next person comes along. Come here, Tom. And Tom, stand right behind the second chair. Stand right here. It's Tom. And Tom says, Darren, man, you know what, Darren? We have this kid fest going on. I know you got a bunch of kids at our church. Our church is having this big kid fest. And I know you got a bunch of kids happening. Why don't you bring your kids down? They can play all the games for free. You're going to give them all kinds of candy. All those things are happening. And so he's like, that's kind of cool. These people love kids enough to tear up the church and to make it into a carnival for kids. It's a place to come out and hang out and have a good time. And so he says, that's pretty cool. You know what? All Christians aren't so bad. And all churches aren't so bad. So move to the second chair. Because of that touch, he moves to the second chair. Then maybe somebody else comes along, and maybe Justin comes along and says on the third chair, hey, you know what? I see you. You're not eating out today with anybody. You got lunch plans? Well, let me buy you lunch today. And so he goes out with Justin. He likes to eat lunch. He doesn't scoot over one chair there. Because of Justin's taking him to lunch and just buying this lunch that day. And say, hey, how's it going? How's it hanging? He says, you know what? Justin's a Christian, and everybody else left me hanging. Nobody else wanted to eat lunch with me, and Justin only took me to lunch, but he bought my lunch. And so he's moving down. Where's Lloyd? Come here, Lloyd. Maybe an ice storm happens, and all your branches fall off in your yard and hanging on the house and on the power lines, and you don't know anybody with a chainsaw who's big enough to handle that tree. And Lloyd says, hey, let me give you a hand, neighbor. Let me help you cut that tree up and get it ready. And he's like, wow, that was my neighbor? I know Lloyd goes to Destiny Church. Him and his wife are Christians. And he came over here, and I didn't have to pay him. He just wanted to volunteer to help me cut up my tree and help me get my yard back together. Wow, this is pretty cool. And then maybe Mike, come here, Mike. Then Mike comes up to him and says, hey, Darren, have you thought about coming to church this Sunday? And Darren says, you know what? I think I will. I think I'll come to church. And he moves this chair right here. And he comes to church, and we preach a message on salvation. And Darren says, you know what? I do need Jesus. I think I'll give my heart to God. Touchdown! Did we score a touchdown because of the message that the pastor preached? No. It started right back there with Tom, who invited them over to his house to watch a ball game. And it's called Christianity. They went from home to home sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. They opened up their homes. They broke bread together. They had a relationship together. They worked together. They cried together. They showed kindness. They learned to love God with all their heart and to love their neighbors as self. And we've got to realize that it's not about the touchdown. We don't always score the touchdown right away. And if you did score a touchdown because of your touch, it probably had nothing to do with everything you did. It had to do with something that happened in a chain of events. Give these guys a hand clap. I appreciate them helping me out. It's not about the touchdown. It's about the touch that makes a difference. Look what Luke 10:36 says. Which of these three do you think proved to be the neighbor to the man who fell to the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed him mercy toward him. And then Jesus said, go and do the same. We see the story about the Good Samaritan who was beaten up and left on the side of the road and robbed. And all the ones who were supposed to be religious passed him on the road, didn't want to help him. But the man who was supposed to be his enemy stopped and showed mercy to him. Checked him in to the hotel, got him cleaned up, got his wounds taken care of, paid for his stay. And Jesus asked the question, who do you think was the one who did the right thing? The one who was knew all the theology? The one who had the denomination hanging over his head? The one who had the pretty church? The one who could speak the best? The one who could prophesy? The one who could sing the best? No, he said, the one who showed mercy. The one who showed kindness. And then once he says, go and do the same. He's called you and I to show mercy, to show kindness. At the very heartbeat of who God is, this is where he's at. He's showing mercy and showing kindness. And the last thing I want to give you this point is this in closing. Know the power of a simple invitation. Know the power of a simple invitation. You never know what your invitation may do to somebody. We may have all kinds of guys that are sitting right here in this third chair or second chair, and they've been touched by different people, and their heart's softening, and all they're waiting for is somebody to just come up and say, hey, would you like to go to church with me? Hey, would you like to come to my home group? Hey, would you? Don't devalue simple invitation. I tell you this, that this is something that I really have worked on since the first year. Really worked on my relationships outside of church and worked on making sure that I'm just not focused in what's happening here, but I'm building relationships in the community. There's people here today that are here, not because I'm a pastor. Most of them didn't even know I was a pastor until they got here. It's kind of a cool thing, isn't it? I don't tell them I'm a pastor. I just invite them to my church and talk to them about Jesus. And they show up and go, why didn't you tell me you're the pastor? Not because I didn't want to. Because I love to see your reaction when you come in and find out I am. And it comes through the simple invitation. You know what? I've invited a lot of people who didn't come. I invited a lot of people who said, yeah, one day I would like to do that. But you know what? I've got people that are here today, people that are here today simply because I simply said, hey, are you going to church anywhere? Why don't you come and check out what's going on Sunday morning? Why don't you join us Easter Sunday morning? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Simple invitation. Don't discredit. Don't take lightly your invitation. Because that person may be right there in that next to last chair. That may be right there, and all it takes is an invitation to draw. Today, let me ask you this question again. Do you shine or do you whine? When the world looks at you, do they see a bunch of whiners? Well, they see somebody who shines the love of God. Someone who's not afraid to show kindness. Someone who's not afraid to say, you know what? I'm going to keep the main thing in my life. Being a servant leader is leading through kindness, mercy. Who this week can you show forgiveness to? Who this week can you talk to? Teenagers, today I'm talking to you. Who this week is sitting by himself at the lunch table that nobody else wants to eat lunch with? Well, Pastor, I may... You know, they sit at the geek table by themselves, and I'm over here. So, can you show Jesus' love? Who's everybody else leave behind when they go to lunch at the office and nobody else wants to take that person out to eat or invite them to go? Wonder what a little kindness would do to them this week. Who's the person who maybe is battling a divorce and is feeling so alone that could just use someone saying, hey, I'm here to talk to you if you need it. Who's the person whose kids are giving them a lot of grief and they don't know where to turn to for help? And you can come to them and just listen to them and say, you know what? It's all right. You're going to make it through this. Just showing a little kindness. Showing a touch. Who could you invite over this weekend to watch the game with you? Who could you invite to a kids' fest? Who could you invite on a Sunday morning? Let's keep the main thing the main thing. Let's let our light shine. Let's don't be known as whiners. Let's be known as shiners. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, today we thank you, Lord, for your word that sets us free. We thank you for your word today, God, that corrects us, keeps us on path. Today, Father, we love you so much. And our heart today is just to do your will and let you shine. Let you shine through us. Today, if you're here and you say, Pastor, as you're talking, I realize today that I need to be kinder. I need to help bring people along that path. I need to show touches of kindness. If your heart's been challenged today to move in kindness, to love people, to touch people, can you just raise your hands and say, Pastor, that's me today. God's dealing with me throughout the whole message. Several hands. Anybody else say, Pastor, that's me. God's really moving me to be more kind, to invite people, to share his love. Anybody here today want to raise your hands? That's me. Yeah, several hands. Several hands. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. Maybe you're here today and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You say, Pastor, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You know, usually I have everybody bow their heads and close their eyes, but today I'm just going to ask you in front of everybody. Today, if you're here, you say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I don't care who knows it. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I won't embarrass you in any way, but can you just raise your hand where you're at? That's me. I want to accept Jesus Christ. Anybody here today? Raise it higher. I can see it. Light's kind of bright. I want to make sure I can see it. Well, today, when we close up the service, I want to make sure that we know this, that it's just light today that shines through us. We're going to close out with this song. It talks about letting the light of God shine through us, the Savior of the world. And today, as we sing a song, I want you to pray that prayer. God, let your light shine through me. Let your light shine through me that I can show kindness to others and point them to Jesus Christ. Come on. Feel my life again. I give my life. God today, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, that today that you conquered the grave. We thank you today, God, that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. And I pray today, our prayer is that, Father, we continue to show you kindness. And we continue to show your kindness to all men, all women. God, as we leave here this week, we leave here with a commitment, a renewed commitment to be the Christians, to be the church that you have called us to be. To show your love, to show your kindness, to show your mercy, to show your forgiveness. God, today, I say yes to that. We say yes to that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. God bless you today. We'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock if you're involved in leadership meeting. Have a great week. Amen.
Let the whole world see. Sing it for the glory. Glory.